In the light of our exercise of the God's wonderful person, and we were reminded and to be exercised by in of late, as we have considered and to be reminded of God the Holy Spirit's awesome, wonderful purpose to make real God. How can he make real? Because God the Son died on the cross. And his death on the cross made it possible for him to do what he does. How he does it, and everything, all of the benefits of Christ going to the cross are made known and are outworked by his person. So, as we've been doing that, and here in Romans 31 times, and the Spirit of God, he's all the way from Genesis 1:1 and 2, all the way to the end. And so here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and the Spirit of God is mentioned 24 times. So, and Corinthians is given and helps us because the church in Thessalonica, northern Greece, has lots of persecution. And it's very, very difficult. But southern Greece, Corinth, that is not quite the same. And Corinth doesn't have the persecution. It has the problems. Persecution cuts everything, reduces it down. So the thing you're facing is the persecution and the way to cope against it. With it. When you get rid of the persecution, we don't have anything to be actively fighting against, standing against. We don't have to do that. So we relax. And everything comes back to ourself and how we think in our old nature, etc., etc. And thus Corinth, here's Corinth. And Corinth is the and we reminded ourselves, it is the assembly noted in the New Testament that's loaded with problems. And they're dealt with from pride, party strife, carnality, immorality, lawsuits, compromise, idolatry, communion, all kinds of problems. So here's Corinth and here's God. And so, in dealing with that, and looking at that, we share together in chapter 1, etc. I'll do read verse 2 anyway. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, that's the city, one assembly, one area, each area, Corinth. And to them, there's no two churches. Unto the church of God, the assembly of God, which is at Corinth, located, to them that are sanctified, set apart. Where are they set apart? In Christ Jesus. Being set apart and being saintly, they're called saints. Called saints. With all, another Antioch and every other place, that are called, with all, that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, as we read down and just reminded ourselves, they are blessed. Grace is given to them, peace, verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And, sliding down to verse 5, then in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. You just have nothing. There's nothing missing. There's nothing missing for you, in order to be successful. Now, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, and they have a unique and wonderful relationship to God. And that's what they have. They have it. they aren't exercising it. They're missing the boat. They're trying to enjoy their new position in Christ without Christ. They're doing all kinds of things. As they think about them, as they see them, they're doing them in order to survive. Look over, if I can, chapter 2. I'm going to go to chapter 3 to pick up the thought. You'll get it. Chapter 3, remember now, they're very fleshly. They're trying to enjoy being saved apart from God. You can't do that. It won't work. And therefore, they're busy doing it and making it happen. Temple of Diana and all of that, they had the gift of languages, tongues, lots of gibberish, all kinds of ritual. They had that. So they see that out there in the temple, and then they carry it over because, well, we'll do it in the church. And they did all this, tongues and all of this, in the wrong way. That's what they did. Now, so when you come to chapter 3, among other things, in verse 1, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able in the writing of this letter. For, verse 3, you are yet carnal, fleshly. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, they've got it all tied up, and it's all about them and what they're doing and the way that they're doing it. So, and they're missing out. Back over to chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in all that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, you all are on the same page, not in 10 different pages. Verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, Apollos, etc., etc., etc. Again, repeat it. Now, having said that, verse 9, they're missing verse 9. And verse 9, God is faithful. God is faithful. By whom you were called into fellowship. Remember, you cannot the word fellowship in the Bible. When believers say, or the people say, we have fellowship from a heavenly standpoint, from God's standpoint, it always includes God. It never excludes God. So if we're having fellowship, we're very conscious of God. God's always in the fellowship. Otherwise, it's just friendship and people doing what they do in the flesh. But it's not fellowship. Fellowship has to include God. That's wonderfully true and should be true. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, this fellowship we're to have, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you also were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So they have a fellowship. You know from John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. John says to the believers, we are enjoying our fellowship with God the Father and with God the Son. And we want the believers, John writing, we want you to join us in this fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Now, and having said that, so therefore, the Son has a unique relationship to God, the Father. And in having said that, so God the Holy Spirit makes possible a unique, wonderful partnership, a relationship to God, to enjoy God in a most wonderful way, fellowship. They weren't having that. Corinth was in trouble. They needed to fix things. So therefore, when we come over, if we can, in chapter 2, and in chapter 2, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 4. Well, no, I'll do a little better than that. Chapter 2, get a little better context, the flow of it. Verse 2, Paul, in the light of their need, in the light of their not being in fellowship with God. Chapter 2, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We want to talk. We had all kinds of problems, all kinds of things. We want to talk about them. No. The main thing you need to understand is how are you doing, what are you doing in your understanding and practice of your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. Is he Lord or not right now? So we want to talk about our problems. No, you need to talk about God. And that's what we do. We have to do that. Where do we start? What do we have to keep presenting to each other? The Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to start seeing anything, understanding anything, resolving anything, just start with God. Just start with God in the light. In the light. So now, God in the light. Now let's look at whatever it is. And now we're going to start differently. We're going to think differently. We're going to come out differently. Why? We're in the presence of God, in the light of his word, and that's what we want to do. How are you understanding your relationship to God and practicing it? Now, so that's what Paul did, and that's what you're going to find. So when we slide down to verse 4, and my speech, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, so that's what he did. That's how it has to come. Otherwise, we're just going to have a human conversation, human dialogue, human debate, human division. That's what we're going to do. And you tell me your side, and I'll tell you my side, and we'll each walk away keeping our own side when we're all done. So what did it do? It didn't. It didn't. It didn't work. But that's how we do it. And that's how we try not to do it. So in the light of that, now, therefore, you come over to chapter 2, and I'm going to go all the way over to verse 16. Chapter 2 and verse 16. And who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, okay, now that's the end of that particular section. You're already the believers in Corinth. Needed to understand they're saints, they're set apart ones. There they are. They're missing nothing. They have everything that the Apostle Paul has. They just aren't exercising it. So therefore, they are reminded again, as we've been reading chapter 1, they already have the mind of Christ. They already have the mind. Well, how can we enjoy the mind of Christ? God thinks like his ways, his words and his thoughts and his ways are higher than the heavens, Isaiah 55. Hold your finger here. Over to Philippians. And Philippians and chapter 2. In Philippians in chapter 2, sliding down to the section you're familiar with, our Lord humbling himself, going to the cross. But as that's introduced by the words, chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what are you saying to the Philippian believers? You ought to be enjoying the mind of Christ. But God's mind is his thoughts and his ways, etc. That's true. Now, why are you saying that? Back over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, verse 16. You already have the mind of Christ. Now, when did you get the mind of Christ? When you received him as your Savior, God became Christ, Colossians 3, 4. Christ became your life. He became your life. He became everything. What does your life mean? Well, physical life, you breathe, you eat, you come, you go. That's physical life. But he became God, he brought his life into your life in the person of Christ so that you're to enjoy him, God, his life. You already have physical life. Christ crucified you because he doesn't want that. That's not carnal. We have been reading. We just read it in Corinthians. You're carnal. You're fleshly. You're men. You don't know anything about God the way you're doing it. You're missing the whole boat. So God, you crucified that, right? So what? That we could enjoy your life. That means all to enjoy who you are. So we're able to enjoy your thinking, your doing, your power, your provision. We can enjoy you, God. In totality, remember Exodus 3 and 14. Moses said, what shall I say your name is? You just tell him, I am who I am. Just tell him that. And then we did all that years ago, you know, been doing it every now and then. And I am, just think of a little thing you're going to put. Here's a dividing line, I am that I am. And God down below, and I am that I am to you. And then you fill it in. I am to you the shepherd. I am to you the life. I am to you the truth. I am to you rightness. I am to you all that you need. I am to you. I am all that you need. I am your mind. You have my mind. Got that part? Now, that's wonderful. Awesome. Now what do we do? Now, God, how am I going to know your mind? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The context for verse 16. Picking up in verse 9, as you know. Chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. When you receive Christ Jesus into your heart, when you did, he brought in what? He brought in everything you need for the whole journey of eternal life. When you receive Christ as your Savior, he brought in, like the ship, here's the ship pulled up to the dock, and the cargo comes, and the ship is loaded with all the cargo to make the journey across the ocean. So it's never going to need an egg to eat. It's going to have everything, water. It's going to have everything it needs to go across to make the trip. Verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, or ever could conceive that I, when you receive me as your Savior, I loaded the ship. I am the load. I am the life. I brought everything and forever into your heart. How so? I am in your heart. I am that I am hath sent me. God, that's what you're doing. You're doing what you're doing. And so when I receive you as my Savior, I received everything. I did. I don't understand it, but I did. But then when we read, don't you turn there, all the different statements, Ephesians 1:3, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Where? In the heavenlies. Of all the resources of forever, you got them. Where'd you get them? In the God of forever. God, you say you received Christ into your heart, and God brought everything in with it. Everything. There's nothing missing. So we got to find something. Now hang on to this as we're trying to think about these things, because it will help you in the morning as we go into 1 John. Now, having said that, so what do you mean, God? Let's put that together even more so. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, picking up, please. And you'll have to notice the end of verse 9, hath prepared for them that love him. Now remember what we shared. God so loved the world. God is what? What is love? Don't think of it like you do in the world. You have to think of it from God's point of view. God is love, a person. And God loves. What's that mean? He wants everything in the mind and heart of God who loves you. That's what he wants. He's going to, when you receive him as your Savior, he brings into your life all that he is, to bring out of your life all that he has in mind. That's, and we've shared that together 1,000 times probably. What? We don't like to be loved because it means change. We just don't like being loved. Oh, we talk about it, and we can talk to humans, because then we that doesn't mean a whole lot all the time. So we can say it. But when you got to love God, you got to want what he wants, and you're going to know it. But if you don't love what he wants, you can be saved, but you don't enjoy being saved. Because why are you saved? For God to be your life. That's why you got saved. So you have to exercise it. Now, so therefore, again, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us. How are we supposed to know what's on board the ship? On board. Verse 10. God hath revealed them unto us. How so? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring about and outwork what God the Father sent the Son to die on the cross for, die on the cross, to give us a unique relationship to God and to exercise it. So now, having said that, that's the Spirit of God's ministry. And you know it from Romans 8, remember? In Romans 8, 26, 27, the Spirit of God is praying, outworking the will of God in your life. So we pray. But we don't know what we pray should pray for as we ought, so we look to God to deal with our heads and our hearts in a wonderful way. And in God dealing with our head and in our hearts in the most awesome way, God's going to what? Help us so that we're resting in His who He is and what He says. So the Spirit of God's going to outwork. He's going to do what He has to do in a way He has to do it. The Spirit of God is. And therefore, I don't, it tells you, I don't know how, you don't know how to pray, as you should. The Spirit of God is praying. You don't know how to, a different way, you don't know how to appropriate the benefits for your heart. They're there, but you can't get them in. The Spirit of God takes them and brings them in His person. He brings in all of those benefits into your heart and life. That's what He does. I don't know it. No, I know you don't. But God does. And God brings that in. The Spirit brings in God's wonderful, wonderful plan for your life, the deep things of God. You could never get them. It's the Spirit of God's ministry. Do I understand them? No. No. But boy, are they there. Are they there. And we trust Him. So, now, keep going. So you see it in verse 11. For, what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And that's why we can all talk to each other in a human way, in a human language, and we all understand each other. Up to a point, we use the same, we say the cat is the cat. We all know what a cat is. We say the dog is a dog. We all know what a dog is somewhat. And everyone has a basis of communicating. We do. But that's us humans. Verse 11. But what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows. And keep in mind now, remember now when you say that, you want to have an understanding of how it works. You have a body. You live in your body. You're a person. You can be 2 inches tall and 10 feet tall. The same size person is in each. Same size. A person's a person. They're not different sizes. They're not different colors. They're a person inside, living inside the body. The body is the home for the soul. That's the person. And the person is special, especially made in the image and likeness of God, because they have a spirit. Antelopes don't have a spirit. You do. Why? Because God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in what? In spirit and in truth. So you have to have that. And we likened it to the light bulb. We're all a bunch of light bulbs. We all have a light bulb, a soul, spirit. But the filament, it has no electricity. It's in there. We all look the same. We all are made up the same. But the difference is, when that filament has the power, electricity, it's light, like these. And then it becomes different. It was all like this. It was just like us until it had electricity. and then it became lit. So what do you do? Body, soul, spirit. Spirit is going to go, and the human spirit, the filament, the light bulb, needs a relationship to God. God saves us spiritually. He brings us from AM frequency, earthly, to FM. FM. We're made for FM. The tuning is in there. But you got to have the power to light the light bulb. And when you light the light bulb, you become a what? Alive. Obviously, if I had a light bulb, I think there may be one in here. If I had one, there's a big difference between the bulb in my hand and the light bulb that's lit. Wow, what a difference. So I need to know that. So I'm looking to God, and spiritually, I need to be spiritually saved. And that's why you would have, you noticed it when you, in doing it. As you'll see it, have the Spirit, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So we got a difference. Now, next statement. Verse 12. Now we have received, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We already got that. But the Spirit, which is of God, God the Holy Spirit. Why? What's God the Holy Spirit going to do? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We can know them. How can we have the mind of Christ? We do have the mind of Christ. You have the person of Christ, the life of Christ. You have all that he's done and made possible on Calvary's cross. So when? And God has given us his word. It's his word, his wonderful, wonderful word. Now, so therefore, and again, verse 13, we receive the Spirit of God and all that God has provided, and we did it free. You don't earn it. You didn't do anything. You earn it. I mean, you didn't earn it. It's a gift. The wages of, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Gift. It's a gift. God gives you a gift, the Spirit of God. And he's going to go and do what? He's going to bring all of God's plan into action in your life as you walk with him and trust him and go down the corridor of time. So therefore we have his word. Therefore, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We have God's word, God's wonderful, wonderful word. And therefore, we have God's word to know God, to honor God, to do it with intelligence. And if you're going to go and you want to back up something, how can I know Jesus Christ is God? How can you not know? And you go back. Here's God's word and the Old Testament and the sacred is tied to the secular, sacred history, outworking itself, and God. So as you turn the pages of century after century to watch it, God, in every way, in a thousand ways, I forgot how many, 333, whatever, God says a thousand, usually I'm going to use a thousand for the fun. I mean, many, many, many times, God tells you exactly how it's going to go. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman is going to be born of a virgin Mary. That's what's going to be, virgin. Already says that. So Barty said, and then it just goes and builds a thousand ways, as it were. So, and then all of a sudden, all of those thousand ways come to pass in one moment, as it were, on the cross. And Christ fulfills centuries of history perfectly. The odds of that happening, I forget, the people have done it. I forgot what the odds are. It's impossible. But it did. God is God. You want proof. That man, what do you have in the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died. What is the gospel? Christ died according to the scripture, was buried according to the scripture, rose again according to the scripture. The scriptures. He perfectly fulfills every jot and tittle, every part of it. Now, if you want to know, why am I trusting God? Why am I trusting God's word? Why am I reading the Bible? Because it's so obvious. There's no question. And then to top it off, he dies very publicly and leaves an empty tomb. And the only sign he's going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and he's gone. Now what are you going to do? He said perfectly who he was, demonstrated who he was, is demonstrating who he is. And people say, well, I don't know whether that's true or not. Man, if you, I know you all done it more than I have. When you think it through a thousand ways, a thousand times, there is no one else. He said, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. I got it. I got it, God. You got it? I got it. No debate anymore. No debate. So when I'm reading, and you're reading, we're in the presence of God, who created all the flowers and our own life. And so therefore, we're going to trust God. Therefore, we're going to go to the scriptures. And what are we going to do? We're going to let the scriptures talk to us. So all things God said, you know, John 6, 63, the words that I speak unto you are what? Spirit and life. That's what he told them. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I'm telling, the words I'm telling you. I am the word, become flesh. They're my words. Search the scriptures. They're my words. It's all about me, said God. And then, man, when you're all done, say, I got it. My little old brain got it. I don't fight anymore with the whole thing. I just want to exercise it. So I don't have to think about, is God God? Or maybe God isn't God. You say, you don't do that anymore. It's silly. Silly. It'd be like saying, they haven't knocked it down yet. The Washington Monument isn't there. There's the Washington Monument. There's Lincoln's Memorial. There they are. It's there. God, you're there. So, you're going to search the scriptures to see if these things be true. So, and having said that, now, doing that in a most wonderful way, and one of the places to do that, you turn your Bible, I didn't mean to talk so much. Luke 24, and just remind yourself. And in Luke, in chapter 24, picking up our Lord Jesus to the disciples after his resurrection. Verse 25, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, which is what we just mentioned. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Isn't all the Bible telling you the same thing over century after century? Didn't it tell you the same thing? Yeah. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He did it. So he went back and did what we just mumbled through. He told him everything. Is that, don't you, you, I'm telling you. And what's your conclusion? Jesus said, I am who I am. And so what are we going to do? They didn't search the scriptures. They knew he was going to rise again. He told them he was going to rise again the third day, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe what God said. So therefore, God had to help them remember, since we're on that part of it. And in verse 29, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us, because it was now late in the evening, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And he went in. They said, come in, you don't need to travel anymore. We'll give you a little supper, something to eat. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. Now, normally that's their job, to serve as host, but he didn't. He took over. He took over. He took the bread, broke it, blessed it. They watched him do that. They watched him do that with the loaves and the fishes and everything. They saw him do it. That's what. And they got the message. And therefore, verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. He just disappeared. He didn't need a bed for the night. He didn't need to eat the food. He wanted them to know who he was and that he has really, 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 like he said, has arisen from the dead. And that's all you need to know. We're back to the beginning. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2 in there. Paul said to the Corinthians, who are sort of stupid about a lot of things, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You just need to get your eye onto God, and then you can see the rest. If you leave God out, leave the power out, all you've got is a light bulb with no light. You need the power, the Spirit of God, spiritually. We need to be, the Spirit of God's ministry is to make you alive spiritually to God. He does that because you receive Christ as your Savior. When you received him as your Savior, you received the Father. When you received the Father, you received the Spirit of God. When you got saved, God in his totality, saved you. You can't have any more of God. We've said that 1,000 times. You can't have any more of God than you have now if you're saved. You need to exercise it. You don't need more of it. You need to exercise it. You don't need to find him. He already has found you. You need to go and trust him. That's why, let this mind be in you. You already have it. You already have it. So therefore, you understand he's going to write 1 Corinthians 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's going to tell you how to fix things. How is he going to tell you? By his word, the scriptures. Here, what do we do? That is sometime that we do. At least we've done it since square one, since the day we got saved. We go by what? We go by the scriptures. So we don't just look at one scripture necessarily. You could. But we try to take 66, here's the Bible, and here's this understanding of the subject, and we try to take that subject. We're going to tell you, we're going to talk about this spot, but we're going to talk about this spot in the light of this. So you're seeing this piece of puzzle, good illustration. You're seeing this piece of puzzle in the light of the picture. Doesn't it help when you got a picture of a puzzle? You got a picture of a puzzle and then you have a little piece. At least you got something. That's what you got. Search the scriptures. That's why we do them. We had a fellow come up from down south. Remember he said over there, sit over there. I remember he came. He came up, he came up with his sons. He sat there. And in the process, he said, he going out the door, he said, "It's really true. You do a lot of Bible." He said, "Boy, do you do it. I hear you. I said, "The guy really can't do it that much." That's what we do. We read lots of Bible. Why do we read lots of Bible? Because that's the message. You don't need a lot of my thoughts. I don't have much anyway. Anyway, whatever you did, how am I going to understand the Bible? I don't have to read the Encyclopedia Britannica or something. I don't have to do it. Don't we? All that's wonderful. But God has given us his word. If I want to understand Jeanette, I don't go out down the street and try to find a book about her. There's Jeanette. So I have the live Jeanette to help me understand a living Jeanette. And I understand my relationship and where she is by looking to her. I understand God. I have his word. He tells me, go to my word. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. And if you're still in Luke 24 and haven't turned the page yet, go over, if I can, over to chapter 44. And he said in Luke 24, 44, he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that," purpose, "all things must be fulfilled." And they all were fulfilled. Which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The Bible's all about me, all about God. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1. Verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that," what was the purpose? "That they might understand the scriptures." To understand the scriptures. What does he say? What did he say? What is the recipe? You don't have to guess at it. He gave it. And you know it. So therefore, the Corinthians ought to be real encouraged. And to do that a little different way in closing, I guess, at time, over to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 28. And in Isaiah chapter 28, God's trying to help the Israelites to pay attention to what he says. Verse 9, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast." What did you read in Corinthians when we started? I would like to give you meat, but you're not capable of having meat. You're going to just have milk. I'm going to have to keep it very simple so you can get it, because you can't handle anything else. What are we saying back here to the Israelites? In verse 9, "And are weaned from milk." In other words, you got to grow. You got to grow up. "Now, for precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, and line upon line, here a little and there a little." How are we going to do it? Precept upon precept. I'm going to say it again and say it again and say it again. I'm going to read it again and read it again and read it again. Line means literally a line of scripture. I'm going to give you a line of scripture, and we're going to say it again and see it again from 10 different places. We're going to see it over and over and over again, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. here a little, there a little. Pieces come in to the picture of the puzzle. Pieces come in, so you see, keep seeing. And the puzzle starts coming together. And a piece that you learned, and you just hardly remember it, but you're reminded, you learned it, you heard it 10 years ago. And it hasn't done anything except sit there. And this morning may come up or something, and something's going to be said. God's going to help us. And that piece sitting there, your little brain and my little brain will wake up. And that comes right like that. You waited 10 years. You're right. But you didn't throw away the piece. You held the pieces. Don't throw away the pieces. Save them. They all go together. If you don't have the pieces, they won't go together. And then, now, line upon line, precept upon precept. And of course, what? They didn't do that. They didn't do it. And verse 13, and the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that purpose they might go, and that they might go and fall backward and be broken, snared, and taken. In other words, God said what he said. This is the recipe. You are not following it, and you're going to make a covenant, a bad covenant, a covenant of death for yourself. And that's true ultimately in the covenant that Israel makes with the Antichrist, Revelation 13, Daniel chapter 9. Make a covenant. You're going to make it. I told you 1,000 times. So when you do it, you are going to be one guilty person. You knew what I told you, and you didn't believe. You didn't obey. You didn't trust me. You should have trusted me. You got the idea? The Spirit of God, it's his wonderful ministry to bring to me, to you, even this day, that God's word, you got to help us. Thank you.